Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So it was so interesting to me this week as on our pastors group of the International Shofar Pastors, they shared some stuff happening in the week and the different ways in which people approach the week and reflect on Jesus. And it was so uplifting for me to see how different people engage in different ways with one another and with God over this week and the fruit of that. And I just want to encourage us as well. There's no set standard or way that we should approach this week as we do with our life, but really in awe and reverence for God, be obedient to God, and walk with God in all that we do. It was so nice to see some of the churches, they combined in the towns where they were with other churches, and they held big church, but with the other churches, reflecting together on the goodness of God. Some of the churches went on picnics and went to walk a certain way or climb a mountain. I don't know what it is with us, but we always want to climb some mountain or go to some lonely tree or go and visit one another dam. But they were there worshiping God. Other people just went out. Some people went on vacation, and wherever they were focused on Jesus, and a lot of good testimonies flew from that and grew from that. And I want to encourage us as well, as we reflect on this time on Jesus, may it not just be something that we do once in a while or once in a year, and may we not get stuck in a habit and a way of doing things, but may we grow more fonded towards God for whom we do all things. Amen. And maybe just on that note as well, I quickly want to ask us a question as we, before we dive into the sermon today. Obviously, we've been now in this week, and all of the posts we see in social media posts and Bible app plans and verses of the day focus on the Passover and this last week of Jesus. And I don't know how many of us maybe read through the story in the New Testament of what happened to Jesus, of at least certain portions of what Jesus went through in the New Testament. And I quickly want us to turn to one another and just reflect on the following question. What is it that stands out to you in this time? Wat staan vir jou uit? Wat is die een ding deur hierdie week, deur al hierdie goeders? Miskien was jy by ander kerke en jy het bietjie by hulle gaan kuier as hulle donderdag, vrydag, saterdag dienste hou. What stood out? What comes to mind when we think about Passover? So maybe as we reflect on this, we listed a couple of aspects, and obviously one, Jesus being crucified and dying for our sins, being raised again. And that is the main focus. And the question we need to ask ourselves, okay, but when we look at that, when we see that, when we are engaging with that, what comes to mind? And maybe for some of us, it was an interesting question, and for the first time, you were like, yeah, I'm very familiar with the story, but what stands out in the story, I'm not as familiar with. I've never actually taken the time to just sit down and reflect about this. And like I say, yes, one of the dangers living in a Christian culture is that when we get too familiar with things, we think because we are familiar with it, we understand it. It's one of the dangers we face living in a Christian community. And many times the things we hear the most, we define the least. And we actually struggle to grasp the reality. Forgiveness, sin, salvation, grace, mercy, peace. All of these things we hear so many times, but we don't go and sit down and define it for ourselves and actually ask the question, okay, but what does it mean? And again, throughout this time of Passover, something that we are so familiar with in the gospel story and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, a lot of the times the focus and what stands out is, yes, God's love for us. Amen. Some of us might have noted that. The love of God for us. The grace of God for us. The willingness of Jesus to come and die for us. Salvation offered by God, and that is a good thing, and that should be the main focus, definitely. But I don't know who of you, as you spoke about this, and as you're reflecting on what Jesus did for us, and reflecting on Passover, who noted that one of the aspects that stands out is the severity of sin, the seriousness of sin. Man, that stands out. If this is the price for salvation, if this is what's needed to save, man, the severity of sin. That stands out. The necessity of salvation. Man, that stands out. How in desperate need I am to be saved. You see, like Zanya said, she spoke about Stephanus, Stefan, as we would call it now, modern day Afrikaans, Stephen in the English, giving that sermon to the bunch of Jews, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. And as he was speaking about Jesus and what Jesus did, they closed their ears and they shouted and they tore their clothes. Why? Because it's offensive to them, the necessity of salvation. That my sin did that, that I need that. No way. Like my mom also shared before the sermon while we were praying together, sharing that beautiful verse out of Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are those who know how much they need God. And is that one of the things that stand out as we reflect on what Jesus has done for us? Man, how much I need God. That stands out. The necessity of salvation and the judgment of God. You see, because if we do not see that, the severity of sin, the necessity of salvation, then all that happens is it's a good story. And it stirs me a little bit and it stirs some emotion, but that's it. It doesn't change my life. It doesn't transform who I am. At the end of the day, like Estefan said, I'm still stuck in the spider's web. I didn't allow God to come and do a work in me because I don't understand how much I need salvation. You see, if I asked the question this morning, who would say that they need grace? All of us would raise our hand, amen. Yes, we need grace. We would need grace. But then if I asked the question, why do you need grace? What would you say? Hoekom kort jy genade? Ons almal weet ons kort genade, maar is 'n bietjie moeiliker om te antwoord hoekom. Why I need grace? You see, that's the difficult part. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the cross of Christ. But there's only one way to the cross of Christ, and that is the acknowledgement that we need to be saved. Amen. And today, we are going to go back to the original Passover. Not in time, but in our Bibles at least. We're going to go to Exodus 12, where the Passover was instituted. Israelites are slaves in Egypt. There was a famine in the land. Joseph was sold as a slave. He went to Egypt. He became second in command there. There was a famine in the land. His family moved up to Egypt as Joseph helped them. They stayed in Egypt for 400 years. When Joseph died, a new king arose that didn't know the Israelites. And the Israelites, God's chosen people, are enslaved in Egypt and they are being oppressed and treated badly. And they cry out for help and God comes through Moses. And he is busy setting them free. And the 10 plagues, I don't know if you remember that story. Sorry for the recap, but all the more people are not so familiar with the biblical narrative and the stories of the Bible. The 10 plagues played off in Exodus 12 is the last of those 10 plagues, the death of the firstborn. And this is where we're picking up the story as we are going to read through that God's people enslaved in Egypt. And Hebrews 10 verse 1 says that these things, the former things, the Old Testament, the law, the feasts, the prophets, is a shadow showing to the substance that is Christ. In this story, we see something of the gospel. We see something about Jesus, and Jesus is the substance then that came. So we're going to read through this, see what we can learn, and then head to the New Testament after that. So let's read together. Exodus 12, from verse 1 to 3. We're going to read through this till verse 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's household, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month." In other words, for 4 days you will keep this lamb. "When the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of the lintel of the household in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the household where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Interesting story. And in the rest of this chapter, it's Moses going to the Israelites, reciting the same to them, telling to them what God has said to them, and also telling them that none of us are allowed to go outside tonight. You must remain in your household. And maybe just before we go on, some of us might have gotten stuck here on a specific term. When it says, yeah, and on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. Who thought that was a strange term to be said there? And for those of you wondering about that, we did a sermon series about the spiritual realm at the end of 2021, I think. You're welcome to go and look at that. But when scripture mentions this word, G-O-D-S, gods, in small letters, it's speaking about the spiritual entities. And what God is saying is that there's spiritual entities in Egypt, the sons of God, there's heavenly beings that have also rebelled with Satan, and they are leading the nations astray, and also on them, God will execute judgment. Remember when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, Moses throws the staff, it becomes a snake, but the magicians of Egypt can do the same. Amen. But Aaron's staff eats up the other staffs because God is Most High. He's Yahweh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And very important for us to remember this as well, that the religions, the nations and the people around us, they don't just have wrong ideas, but there's real spiritual entities behind those wrong ideas. Amen. I don't know if you've ever thought to yourself, how can they be so stupid? Can't they see nothing's happening? Can they see there's no life, there's no reality? No, there's a reality behind those wrong ideas, behind those wrong beliefs. It's just a hostile spiritual entity. And God says on them, he will also execute judgment. And like I said in the rest of the passage, Moses explains the same to the rest of the Israelites. And as we read through this, I want us to see a couple of things. The one is the seriousness of sin and the judgment of God. Important to see this as we read through this Passover story, as God passes over to execute judgment on the people. On the other hand, I also want us to see the grace and love and salvation that God offers. But it's important that we understand both these two aspects. Amen. The seriousness of sin and the judgment of God, but also the grace and the salvation of God that is to be applied by faith. So the seriousness of sin and judgment first. Verse 12 and also verse 22b, we read, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. None of you shall go out of the doors of his house until the morning." And just also to say, like scripture says in Hebrews 10 verse 1, this is a shadow showing to the substance. This is something that shows to the reality of what is going to happen. And just in short, I also want to say that on both the Israelites and the Egyptians, grace was given. A measure of grace to both of them. Why do I say grace was also given to the Egyptians? Because everybody deserved to die, not just the firstborn. Amen. That's why I say even a measure of grace was applied to the Egyptians, because there will come a day when judgment is given where everybody that is not covered by the blood of the Lamb will fall under the judgment of God. Amen. So even there, a measure of grace is given. But very important here for us to understand is the severity of sin and the judgment of God. Because easy for us, as we read through the story, we many times have this idea of two groups of people. We have the very sinful Egyptians and the good Israelites. Amen. I don't know who've ever thought about that when you read through the story. And many times we have that view as well, that we are the good people that need to be saved from the bad people. Amen. Ons is mos goeie mense. And many times, even if you read for your children in the children's Bible, they would actually use those terminology. And God saved the good Israelites from the bad Egyptians. And very quickly we fail to understand that both the Egyptians and the Israelites, everybody, every single human being is guilty of sin before God. Every single human being stands before God guilty unless provision is made. Unless someone dies in our place, unless someone comes and pays the price. Because you can kind of imagine this. As it says that they are supposed to go and tell this to the generations to come and to the children that is to come. And I can just imagine God's heart in this as well, knowing that if you go home and you explain the story to your kids, the first thing is not going to be, yes, Dad, we understand, we will do that. It's going to be 1,000 questions. Amen. If you can tell that to your kids, they're going to ask you a lot of questions. And even if you have small children, you know, the first thing kind of that you're going to ask as the family heads goes back to their families and explains it to them as well. And the first thing they hear is that none of us are allowed to go outside tonight when God passes over. And you can kind of think in the heart of the Egyptians, but we are God's people. Why are we not allowed outside? And then the answer comes, because none of us can stand before a holy God. When God passes over, none of us can face Him, son. We all need to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. No one can go outside. It's not the evil Egyptians and the good Israelites. All of us are in need of salvation. Blessed are those who know how much they need God. Blessed are those who know how much they need God. And as they explain the effect of sin to the children, you can kind of imagine, because they wanted to play outside, but they must now remain inside, and they know that God is going to pass over and He's going to execute judgment. And they might think to themselves, yes, earlier today I did that to my brother, or I said this to my sister. I didn't listen to my parents there. And all of a sudden there's a kind of a fear that sets in. But it's very important that we understand this. This takes us to the first point this morning. Every human being needs salvation. Every human being needs salvation. If that was not the case, no lamb needed to be slaughtered. No blood needed to be on the doorpost. The Israelites didn't need to remain inside. If it was just the bad Egyptians, those are really good stuff wrong. And the good Israelites on the one hand, no. That's not the case. Everybody stands guilty before God. Chosen or not, Israelite or not, belonging to the people of God or not, everybody stands under judgment, and every human being needs salvation. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the question that I want to ask us this morning is, do we realize that? Do you understand how much you need God? Do you fall under that Matthew 5 category, blessed are those who know how much they need God? Because we see the salvation that God offered, but do we understand how much we need it? Jonathan Edwards famously said that we add nothing to our salvation except the sin that makes it necessary. There's no good work we attribute. There's no good thing. Nobody stands guiltless before God. And again, we've heard this many times, but do we understand the reality of it? And the reason we have to start here is because it will determine how we respond to salvation. If there's a cure given, let's say for example for cancer, and someone comes running in the door and they say, hey, a cure for cancer has been found, it's outside, come get it now. Are you going to be happy? Depends on whether you have cancer or not, I guess. Or at least someone in your family. But if it doesn't affect me, it doesn't affect me. It's good that there's a cure. It's good that there's a solution. I just don't need that solution. And it's important that we understand this first. Everybody needs grace, but can we acknowledge this morning why we need grace? There's only one way to the Father, and it's through the cross of Christ. There's only one way to the cross of Christ, and that's acknowledging that we need it. Amen. Not by works, but by grace, through faith. And now you can kind of imagine the kids inside the home, they're now getting all panicky, they're stressed, because now they also understand that God's not just coming to pass over, and everybody that's on the Israelite side stands guiltless, and the Egyptians will be punished. No, they understand that all stand under the judgment of God. But Dad, what are we going to do? How is this going to work when God passes over? He says, don't worry, my son. God has made a temporal solution. Verses 6 to 7. And he says, and you shall keep it until the 14th day, this lamb of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the household in which they eat it. And again, here we see two things. Again, the seriousness of sin, but on the other hand, also the grace of God. Because you can imagine this, even for the children, you've kept this lamb now in your household for 4 days. This lamb has a name by now. Are you with me? And I don't know if you're that type of parent or that type of mom or dad, but you might have given it the name. And the lamb has a name by now, and we've investigated and examined the lamb to make sure that it is without blemish, without fault, perfect lamb. And all of a sudden, as everybody has seen the innocence of this little lamb, and how cute it is, and without fault, and without blemish, all of a sudden, 4 days later, everybody gathers around, Dad takes the goat, and slits the goat's throat. And the goat screams, and the blood pours out, and the children ask, Dad, why are you doing this? And the dad responds, this is the seriousness of sin, my son. This is what sin does. It brings death. The wages of sin is death. And this should have been me, and it should have been you. But God has made a substitution. And all of a sudden, again, we see the seriousness of it. And they take the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorposts. And it says, so that when the angel of death comes over, we will be safe. And you can imagine the kid asking, but Dad, doesn't it matter who's inside the house? And the dad responding, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in the house, as long as it is covered by the blood of the lamb. There's no investigation for those who are in the house. There's no recollection of what they did that day, that week, that month, that year. Doesn't matter. As long as the blood is on the doorpost, that's what God is looking for. Is this household covered by the blood of the lamb? That and that alone. Was the sacrifice spotless and without blemish? That and that alone. Imagine that the family taking the lamb to the high priest. He examines the lamb while they stand back. We are not being examined. I'm not being asked, what did I do that day? What did I do that week? What did I do that year? How did my devotion to God look? No, the lamb is being expected. The one that's going to die in my place. And when the blood is on the doorpost, the angel doesn't look inside. Amen? It's only looking for the blood on the doorpost. That takes us to the second point this morning. The blood of the Lamb offers salvation for every human being. The blood of the Lamb offers salvation for every human being. And again, I need to ask us the question, do we believe this? Has this reality sunken in? Or when we approach God, we are still thinking to ourselves, man, but I still struggle with that thing. Man, and I did that again. And yesterday I treated my wife like that, or my kids like that, or my husband like that, or the person at work like that. Don't we understand? We are not being examined here. The only question is, are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? You are not the one being inspected. Do we understand that? Do we take that to heart? That is the grace and the salvation that God offers. It is by grace alone. There's nothing we can add to that. He didn't say the blood of the lamb and also the proof of payment of your tithe that month. Just also staple that to the door so that we can just see. It doesn't say the blood of the lamb and the list of good works you've done. It doesn't say the blood of the lamb and the good services you've rendered to the poor. The blood of the lamb alone. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Do we understand that this morning? And I want us to reflect on that. Is there ever a time when you think to yourself, but man, this thing still, I don't know if God is pleased, I don't know if God will forgive, I don't know if God will accept. But do we understand that there was one that was examined, and that was Jesus, and we'll get to that in a moment. And now also you can imagine the question flowing from that in the kid, but do we just do nothing then? Doen ons dan niks? Is daar niks wat ons moet doen nie? Can we do what we want inside the house now? And the answer is no. No, we can't just do nothing, and we can't do what we want in the house. You see, if we believe, if we have faith that God will save through this means, then that will flow out in a certain way, amen? In what way? Obedience. If we have faith in God, if we trust God that He will pass over through providing this lamb, then obedience will flow forth. And the first thing that they will do is they will go and get a lamb, amen? Every person that knew that they could get a lamb but didn't get a lamb, they died that night, at least the firstborn, amen? Every person that knew they must get a lamb, slay the lamb, and put it on the doorpost, even if they just got the lamb but never killed the lamb, the firstborn died that night. Why? Not because they should do something for their salvation, but we should respond in faith through the salvation that God offers, amen? We should apply the blood of the lamb. And it's not to earn our salvation, but it's to show that we actually trust God and we actually have faith in what God says. Faith equals obedience. Amen. And even inside the house, they should eat it in a certain way. Exodus 12 verse 11. It says, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Why? Because that night Moses sounded the trumpet and all the Israelites had to move out of Egypt. And for the people that weren't ready, they didn't eat it in this way and the blood was on the doorpost. Yes, the angel of death might have passed over, but the next day they were still in Egypt. Amen. And maybe for some of us, our salvation kind of sounds like that. I didn't die, but I'm still in Egypt. I didn't die, but I still feel stuck in so many ways. And it's because we are not adding faith to everything God says. And it's not to earn our salvation, but it's to obey God by faith so that He can actually deliver us from the things He wants to deliver us. Amen. But to obey by faith. And this is how it happened for more than 1,000 years. Generation from generation. And sometimes they missed and sometimes they forgot. And then they remembered again, and then they did it again, but so it went on and on and on, until one day, things changed. Where we, I don't know, who ate a Passover like that ever. Because we don't do it like that. Why? Because something changed. About 1,300 years later, we read the story in Matthew 26 of Jesus asking His disciples to go and prepare the Passover meal. And everything is there, and everybody's there, and the unleavened bread is there, and the wine is there, and one thing is missing. And there's no lamb on the table. Nobody brought a lamb. Jesus didn't bring a lamb. And the disciples must have thought unto themselves, I don't know what's going on here. And the reason why there's no lamb on the table is because the Lamb of God is at the table. Amen. And all of the sudden, Jesus takes the unleavened bread and He doesn't say, break, this is the bread of your suffering. He says, no, this is My body, broken for you. Take the cup. This is My blood, poured out for you. And as we read through this Passover story again of Jesus, we see the exact same things playing off. Before we get there, maybe just to put point number three on the board. Sorry guys, I missed that one. Point number three is every human being needs to receive the grace of God by faith. Every human being needs to receive the grace of God by faith. We need to apply salvation. We need to obey God as He leads. But as Jesus is standing at the table, He gives them the bread and He says, take, this is My body, broken for you. He passes around the cup, He says, this is My blood, poured out for you. As we read in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, for Christ our Passover lamb has already been slaughtered in our place. And as we read through the story of what Jesus goes through, we see the exact same elements play out, except for judgment and except for faith. But we still see the seriousness of sin in the hearts of man and the grace of God being revealed. We read in Mark 15 verse 12, and Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do of the man you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why, what evil has he done? In other words, I've inspected him, I found no fault. This is an innocent, blameless, without blemish, Lamb of God. What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. And again, we see these two things, and it's important for us to note that. The seriousness of sin. As people cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And the willingness of Jesus to go through that for you and for me. And I know, I understand, as we read through the story, we think to ourselves, man, we would never have been part of the crowd yelling, crucify. But Scripture says, at best, we would have been part of the disciples that ran away. And again, we're seeing this played out. As Jesus is led to being crucified, the disciples runs away. Peter denies him three times. The people shall crucify him. As Jesus is hanging on the cross, they beat him. They spit on him. The people walking past yell, save yourself. While the greatest love of God is being displayed for mankind to see. And at the foot of the cross, as the love and grace of God is being displayed for all humanity to see, what is happening at the foot of the cross? The soldiers are busy gambling for his clothes. And again we see the seriousness of sin in light of the grace of God. And it's important for us to see both these aspects. How much we need salvation. Not just to be set free from Egypt, those who are oppressed, but to set free from sin inside of us. A deeper deliverance is needed. A deeper deliverance is needed. And while that is playing out, while he's being mocked, while he's being beaten, while they are gambling for his clothes, what is the response of Jesus? Luke 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the grace of God. That's the love of God on display. In light of the seriousness of sin, we see the grace of God. In John 1:29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus the first time, he said, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That takes us to our last point this morning. Jesus is the Lamb of God who can take away the sin of every human being. And how we are going to respond this morning depends on how much we think we need the salvation that Jesus offers. See, there's a story in Luke 7 where Jesus is invited to a Pharisee's house. We spoke about it a couple of years ago through the eyes of the gospel. And there's this self-religious man who thinks to himself that he doesn't need to be saved. And when he invited Jesus to come and dine with him, when Jesus said, yes, I will come to your house, that makes sense. I would also come to my house. I would also want to have dinner with me. Man, this Jesus must really be a religious guy because he sure knows how to pick the right people because I kind of am the good one. And then this sinful woman comes in, known for being a sinful woman, cries at Jesus' feet, washes his feet with a tear and dries them with her hair. And Jesus says to the Pharisee, look at this woman. Look at this woman. Because the Pharisee is thinking to himself, man, if Jesus knew what type of woman this was, he wouldn't have allowed her to touch him. It makes sense that he's coming to my house, but man, this doesn't make sense to me. And Jesus says, look at this woman. Look at this woman. And he tells him a parable. And he says, one person owed 500 rand to someone and one owed 500,000. The man forgave both their debts. Who do you think loves the man the most? And the Pharisee answers, the one with the greater debt forgiven. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Look at this woman. She loves much because she's been forgiven much. And Jesus is not saying to the Pharisee that you have less sin than her. That's why you kind of don't appreciate me. And I get that because you kind of find on your own. But she really needs it. And that's why she's responding, please just forgive her. No, he's saying that you have no idea the weight of your sin. You have no idea the necessity of salvation. Man, because if you did, you would have done the same as this woman. You would have also cried. You would have also broken the perfume here. Like Maria said. And we are going to distribute the elements of communion now. And as we turn to one another and as we pray and reflect, I want us to reflect on these 4 points here. Every human being needs salvation. Do we understand that? Again, with a story so familiar that we hear so many times, and for those of us who maybe visited some of the other churches as well, maybe been the third time this week that you've heard this. But do we understand this? Has this sunken in? Do we understand the blood of the Lamb offers salvation for every human being? That God doesn't examine those who are in the house. You're not being inspected when going to the altar. The Lamb is. But does that mean we do nothing? No, we respond by faith. Amen. We respond by faith, seen in obedience. And we know that Jesus is the Lamb who can take away the sin of every human being.